Hey, I'm Tracy Burns. Welcome to Wine on the Street. I'm back at my favorite place, Gary's Wine and Marketplace in Wayne, New Jersey. Today we're talking Spanish wines, Gary. Now, if I remember correctly, and our listeners will remember correctly, this was one of your New Year's resolutions.
That's why we're tasting it today.
That's good. And it's March,
right,
that you're following up on a New Year's resolution. That says a lot about you.
Sometimes.
Because most of us wait till like October and like we're like, damn, I got to hurry up on that.
I thought I was behind schedule. But, you know, in October, November, I got an opportunity to taste a lot of Spanish wines again, which I hadn't done for a while. And I'm like, wow, these wines are fantastic. Mm-hmm. Why don't I ever drink them? Because I never think about it, to be honest. So I said, okay, I put it in paper, right? New Year's resolution.
Right. Say it out loud.
Taste Spanish wines more. So when I knew you were coming today, I said, well, what can we do? And I was thinking rosé, because we're closing in on rosé
season,
we should probably do next. But I said, no, let's taste and talk about Spanish wines.
And so we brought in the king of Spanish wines here at Gary's. That's the title I came up with. Jeff, who's here with us. Jeffrey buys your Spanish wines, correct?
Yes, I do.
So you know all things Spain.
Well, including where Spain.
Including where it is on a map.
Yes.
I know that.
Spanish wines, I think, are kind of coming into their own, if for nothing else, but there's a great value.
I'll jump in and then I'll turn it over to you, Jeff. You know, what I like about Spain, a few things. One is you still can get great value,
right,
with real wine from Spain.
Right.
You have great diversity. You know, you have Albariños by the ocean that are
white,
great with seafood.
Great white wine.
You've got traditional Riojas, which are a little bit earthier and really good. You have Grenache, which we're going to talk a little bit about. So you have a lot of great, I mean, there's hundreds of, I don't remember the number, I wish I did, but there's hundreds of grape varieties that are indigenous to Spain, so you can taste a lot of different fun wine.
It's awesome.
And why not try?
And in fact, a lot of the great Spanish grape varieties have been taken to other places in the world. Garnacha is taken to France and it's called Grenache.
So they stole it?
They didn't steal it, they borrowed it.
Steal it?
My words, not yours.
This style of wine has expanded, but there's also been a lot of cross-border with France. When phylloxera hit and a lot of the Bordeaux vineyards got wiped out, Bordeaux winemakers came to Rioja and started applying their techniques there. So the Spanish learned from the French some techniques there. They've taken it and done it in their own way. But you do have this tremendous diversity of styles, flavors. And what you have is you have good value in a lot of different price ranges. There are great Spanish wines that are very expensive, but you can also get a great $5, $6.
That's the coolest part, I think.
So there's a lot of chance for people to find a niche that they love in Spanish wine.
And now you, before we started recording here, you had said that you, there's two main grapes.
Two great grapes of Spain are Tempranillo and Garnacha. Tempranillo is the grape that you'll find in most places around Spain. It's the dominant grape in Rioja, and it's the dominant grape in the wines that we're going to be tasting today from the Ribera del Duero, which is the Spanish extension of the Douro River from Portugal. And they grow Tempranillo there. They call it Tinto Fino. There's a lot of regional names, different regional names.
I know, everybody does that just to confuse us, I think.
So this first wine we're having is from Quinta Milú. It's Ribera del Duero, so it's 100% Tempranillo, done without a lot of oak aging.
Oh, wow.
So it's a very intense, rich, deep fruit.
You get that on your nose immediately. It's super dark. It's got like a purpley, I shouldn't say it's super dark. It's got that beautiful purpley color.
No, but it is. It's dark purple.
It's dark purple. How about that? It smells fabulous.
I read it. I'm ahead of you guys because Jeff was talking and you were gazing at the color. It's got a real elegance and richness, but it starts off big and then softens up in the mid palate and finishes beautifully.
But I get that tanniny.
There's tannin. It's,
yeah.
It's a young wine. This is the 2014. So
wow.
It's quite a young wine.
But totally drinkable.
What
does that go retail for? Do we know?
This is a
$10.99, $12.99,
somewhere in that range.
I'll find it out.
But it's got lots of intense, rich flavor without being heavy.
It's super light. I actually really like that.
It's funny. I was thinking of meals, right?
Well, I was going to ask you. We're coming up on Easter. I could say Passover, but I have no idea when that is.
It's later, but I would not necessarily pick a Spanish wine for my Passover Seder. Although there are some kosher for Passover Spanish wine, so you could do that.
This is how little I know. I'm sorry about that. Okay, so not the.
But it is great with roast lamb.
Yeah, lamb.
That's the food of the
Spanish
of the region.
Yeah. Yeah.
You grow, you take a nice leg of lamb.
That was totally by luck. I had no idea where I was going.
Our luck. Yeah. Jeff probably planned it. I'll con them into that.
That is really nice. And that is a great choice for the holidays. And how do you say that?
Quinta Milu.
I like that. Milu.
And that's sort of a new wave style, modern style. This next one is from Emilio Moro, who's one of the great old producers of Rioja del Duero. Very traditional, very rich style. A little more oak than Quinta Milu will have, but still quite.
So Emilio Moro, it looks like his grandfather's picture's on the label, and I love that already.
Yeah, that probably is Emilio's picture. I'm not sure which level of Moro we've reached now. We're on the fourth or fifth generation.
So again, Tempranillo.
Again, Tempranillo, yeah, same grape, but just, you know, a little bit different style.
Yeah, it's got a little more meat to it.
A little richer, a little heavier.
Mm-hmm.
A little more earth and less fruit.
Definitely more earth on the nose. I get that. These are great wines, though.
It's funny. This, I get a little less fruit in the nose.
Yeah,
or a little
too.
Less aromatic. But I get much more in the finish.
Yeah. And this is a wine probably designed to age longer. The Quinta Milu is designed to be drunk young and fresh. The Emilio Moro is intended for aging a little longer.
Kind of like me, young and fresh.
And I'm be the aging little longer.
I wasn't going there.
Well, it's the oldest one here.
But again, it's got great aromatics.
It does.
Great fruit. And what I love about it is it's well-balanced, both of these so far. They're, you know, we taste a lot of wines mm-hmm. young. And sometimes you taste them and they hit you in the face. You know,
yeah,
they're
yeah,
either,
yeah.
You know, very ripe, very extracted, or very tannic.
Well, the thing about all these wines, and I think in general you find about good quality Spanish wines, is that there's a real pure flavor of wine there. They're not tricked up. They're not overly.
It's like old school winemaking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the most part, these are fairly traditional. Maybe a little more oak, a little less oak. There's some differences there. But it's real wine. It's not dandified, fancied up.
And what exactly are you referring to there, Jeff?
We had a rough week. We've tasted a lot of wines made specifically for millennials, which I think that could be an entire podcast.
Oh, my God, yeah. Well, I would think, though, the millennials would be into this whole Spanish wine world because they're so into the story. It's real. There's still a good value there.
Now, this last wine, the Avante, is made by a gentleman named Jorge Ordóñez, who is... I won't say single-handedly, but he's largely responsible for the development of Spanish wines in this country.
Really?
He found and imported lots of small producers and introduced them to this country. And about half of what you see in a Spanish wine section in most stores, at some point or another, were something Jorge Ordóñez discovered and first imported. He passes them on to other people and takes on new things. But this is a project of his own, where he's taken some old vines in the Ribera del Duero and wants to make a really, this is the biggest, heaviest.
Well, the nose is real. I haven't tasted it yet. It's amped up, you know what I mean?
Wow.
It's got more blackberry, a little bit more blackberry, dark blueberry in the nose.
This is made all with older vines. The vines in this probably, I'm not sure what he claims these days, but it's 50 to 60-year-old vines. These old head prunes, they're not even trained on trellises. They're just little stumps coming out of the ground.
Oh, so cool.
About the biggest around is your arm coming out of the ground. And just grow the grapes right off the trunk. And you get very intense.
Now we're
rich
talking
flavors.
Fruit. Now, this is a mouthful. This wine, what year is it?
2011.
This is a big glass of wine.
Holy, yeah.
How much is this, approximately? Because I got to tell you, we've really stepped up the flavor, the richness, the density of fruit.
Heck yeah. Well, we've added some years to it, right? But you get a wine like this, I mean, you could put this with anything.
You could. anything. I mean, because it's got the richness.
Yeah. On sale right now at $9.99.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
What? Gary's upset. He's going to raise the price.
You conned me because I thought we were going up in price too.
No, we're not.
$10.
It's $10.
It's a $10 bottle of wine.
First of all, it's a 2011.
Yeah.
Like, let's just put that out there. It's been aged. And it's $10.
I really am shaking my head because I'm laughing. First, I really did think that you moved us up price point. Because we're going back and older. And
that the is
intensity
really
of flavors.
Nice.
I got to tell you, Jorge is unbelievable. We're having dinner with him in a couple weeks.
Yes, we are.
I may invite you if you're
good. Yeah, I would love to meet this man. He's quite genius. And, yeah. By the way, $10. Can we still go Easter dinner with this?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. At my house. we're not having it.
Especially because you're Jewish. These wines are great. And I think that more and more Spain is getting its comeuppance. I mean, it's time, right?
Yeah.
They've been making wine for thousands of years.
I know, but
it's time.
And yet, how come that it's only now that we're starting to hear more and more about Spanish wines?
It's been a combination of political and social, socioeconomic things that kept them sort of out of the real world for a long time. But they've really developed in the last 20 years, and a lot of it has been Jorge Ordóñez, Eric Solomon, and several other small U.S. importers who've gone around and found these. There are plots of vines in Spain, 7,500-year-old vines, that are basically were being sold for 50 cents a bottle.
What?
Producing great juice, but nobody knew about it. And so these guys have come in and said, look, I found these great sources of fruit. Let me bring in modern winemaking, modern professional techniques. You have this great old fruit. We'll marry that together. And he can take a guy who is getting 50 cents a bottle for his wine, gives him $3 a bottle for his wine, and the guy is thrilled.
Yeah, he's a millionaire overnight.
And also now he has money to buy better equipment.
And so all of that has gone to just...
So it was like almost like an industrial revolution going on then.
It's a huge revolution in the last 20 years in Spanish wine.
Yeah.
And there are places, 20 years ago or 30 years ago when I started in this business, there were like 3 or 4 wines out of Spain that you ever saw in this country.
Right, Roja.
Well, it was Marqués de Riscal, Marqués de Cáceres, and a third Marqués, I'm drawing the blank in name. And then there was Torres out of Catalonia.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Those, now there are, I have 100 different Riojas I can get access to at any one moment. We have wines from the south of France, from south of Spain, Jumilla, from Yecla. These little places we make grapes called Monastrell and Garnacha Tintorera. Strange things.
So all these little artisans making wine, and we're getting them out there now.
And the challenge is because a lot of people can't pronounce the names.
Yeah.
You look at the label, you don't necessarily know what the grape is or what the flavor profile would be. So from a consumer, it's much more challenging, which is why we're focusing on it more, and why it was one of my New Year's resolutions.
It's a good one. I think we should do like a different grape next time too.
We will.
I love this, Gary, Jeff. You guys are awesome. Everyone should go try a Spanish wine and let us know. You guys, Tintani. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're awesome.